Blog Talk Radio.
Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Yah, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. For I trust in thy word, and take not thy word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Shalom, shalom, shalom. That was the word of Yah, Psalm 119, section Vav. Section Vav, V-A-U, of Psalm 119. And may Yah add a blessing to the reading of his word. Shalom, shalom, shalom. All praise, all honor, all glory be unto the Most High Yah henceforth forever and ever and ever. I am Yeremiah ben Israel, and you are in the Knowledge Suite every M day, every W day on Blog Talk Radio, with the exception of some F days. Yes. In which we take the extra time to go into and expound in extra things in the word of the Most High Yah. My brothers and sisters and people of the nations, hallelujah, I continue my assault upon the New Testament, because we will have continually the New Testament on trial unto the Most High Yah come back, and already the whole book is already guilty of lies, of deceptions, of misnomers, hallelujah, of untruths, just total lies, 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 lies. Yes. And tonight, before I get into bringing forth more verdicts, yes, and presenting more cases, hallelujah, before, hallelujah, the court of the Most High Yah, praise the Most High Yah, I am going to play a short documentary here on a thing that's called comparative mythology. And it compares JSUS to MITRAS and OSIRIS, and that would be pronounced Jesus, Mithras, and Osiris. Hallelujah. To show you the connection between those paganistic deities that existed way before JSUS was even conjured up or thought of, hallelujah, by the liars who made up and conjured up this big lie and has sold this big lie to the entire planet. And my poor people, the majority of them still caught up into this mess and this lying deception. Wake up, my people. Wake up. Open your eyes. We're not making this up. All you have to do is just do what me and others are doing. Go research and look into it. Everything out there is not mis or disinformation, as they call it now. Check that out. For years, they called it misinformation. Now, all of a sudden, that has changed. Yes, I remember when Charles Osgood of one of the big media networks a few years back now, came on national news and had mentioned a transformation in the English language where we no longer call, misinformation anymore, but now it's disinformation. Hallelujah. They don't know what they want to do with this bastard tongue that was made up for them to deceive the whole world with in the first place. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise the Most High Yah, the newest tongue on the planet. But we have to understand this. Remember now, all these tongues come from Yah, and it started at the Tower of Babel. Yes. Which, you know as the Tower of Babel. Yes. Babel. That is where Yah mixed up all the languages and gave these different languages to people, whether they be the ancient languages of then or the so-called newest language of now called English. Hallelujah, in which the wicked took on as a combination of multiple languages. They made up the language, but Yah gave them the authority to do this. See, they were authorized to do it because why? He turned the planet over to the wicked. Read it in Job chapter 9, verse 24. He turned the entire planet over them, and they covered the faces thereof with judges. Yes, yes. Which what causes what? Blind justice, so to speak. Look at this now. Praise the Most High, Yah, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let's listen in on this. Then I'm coming after this, and I'm going to go and cut and gut some more stuff. We're going to cut it up and gut it up. Hallelujah. Tear it down. Hallelujah. Cut it and gut it. Tear it down, because that's what I'm here to do. That's part of my mission on this planet. Hallelujah. And just work with me and bear with me. Yes, we will have some songs of praise out in a CD very, very soon. Let me put it this way, ASAP, as soon as possible. And you know that can take some time, but we're working at it. Praise the Most High, Yah. Now, let's listen in on comparative mythology. Let's see some of the pagan roots that this Christianity, which many of you labor under unto this very day, where a whole lot of stuff come from. It's nothing but lies, lies, lies. I am Yeremiah ben Yisrael, and you are in the knowledge suite. We will return momentarily.
Second World War, there was an incredible series of archaeological discoveries in the UK. They revealed a network of Roman temples from London in the south to Hadrian's Wall in the north. They were dedicated to a pagan religion that existed at the same time as Christianity, and to a god who had striking similarities to Jesus, Mithras. Lindsay Allison Jones is the director of the Museum of Antiquities at the University of Newcastle and an expert in the mystery cult of Mithras.
Oh, wow, this looks really well preserved.
It is, isn't it? Yes.
Now, what could I have expected to see if it was in its original condition?
You probably wouldn't have seen very much at all, because it was sunk right down. The worshippers of Mithras were trying to reconstruct, in a sense, the original cave of Mithras. So they wanted it dark, they wanted it subterranean.
This is a door. You would have gone through here. You would then come in through here into the actual temple itself. And you'd see in front of you the three altars there, and behind that there'd be a large relief showing Mithras killing the primeval bull. That was the act of creation for the worshippers of Mithras.
May he bring us help. May he bring us comfort. May he bring us joy. He, the awful and overpowering, worthy of sacrifice and prayer. Mithra, the lord of wide pastures.
And Mithras is a god to the good side, I presume, the light.
Yes, Mithras was the lord of light. That's what he was basically attached to, the sun god, who ordered Mithras to go and kill the primeval bull to release life force for the benefit of mankind.
Mm, that's interesting symbolism. Yes, you've got this powerful deity and then this kind of sub-deity who acts as a kind of saviour figure for humankind.
The rise of Mithras almost exactly parallels the rise of Jesus, although his origins could be much more ancient. Some say he was created by the Romans, others that he came from Persia and India.
Mithras was seen as a savior god. He was unusual amongst the gods in that you weren't really trying to bribe him in quite the same way that you were trying to bribe some of the other deities to make sure that your life on earth was as comfortable as possible. Mithras was rare in that he actually offered you a life after death.
So if Mithras predated Jesus and is also a savior god who offered his followers a life after death, did Christianity steal these ideas?
It was a mystery cult. We certainly know that they were having ritual meals. It seems to have been a fairly basic feast, based largely on the chickens, on bread, and on wine.
Bread and wine.
Bread and wine, yes.
I mean, you know, it's got similarities with early Christianity, the sense of feasting, the sense of discipline. You don't have to appease a deity. You work at things for your own good. There's a deity who is a god of light, who is sent by a major deity to kill his nemesis in order to redeem and save the world.
Yes, the early Christian fathers, who wrote a lot, were very upset about Mithraism. They thought that Mithraism was parodying Christianity.
This so infuriated many early Christians that they felt they had to publicly denounce Mithras and his worshippers. One 4th century Christian writer, Ambrosiaster, tried to demonize their secret ritual.
What travesty is it then that they enact in the cave with veiled faces? For they cover their eyes, lest their deeds of shame should revolt them. Some, like birds, flap their wings, imitating the raven's cry. Others roar like lions. Others bind their hands with the entrails of fowls and fling themselves down over pits full of water. What shameful mockeries for men who call themselves wise.
Another early church father, Justin Martyr, tried to claim it was Mithras who was copying Jesus.
Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, said, "This do ye in remembrance of me, this is my body." And having taken the cup and given thanks, he said, "This is my blood," and gave it to them alone, which the wicked devils have imitated in the mysteries of Mithras.
The problem for Christians was that the similarities did not stop there. One tradition claims Mithras even had a virgin birth.
Mithras, there are two stories, one that she was born from the living rock, and the other that she was born from the cosmic egg.
So this is potentially a crossing of ideas, and even potentially a merging of ideas between Mithras and early Christianity. Potentially.
There is even a story that Mithras' birth was witnessed by shepherds watching their sheep, but that again is a much later story, and we don't know whether at this point Christianity and Mithraism is all getting rather intertwined and it's getting confused.
Mithras was a pagan god with a story, a purpose, an element of ritual very similar to that of Jesus, but one whose origins could predate him by thousands of years.
Early Christian fathers were very worried about the similarities between Christianity and Mithraism, especially the charge that Christianity borrowed many of its ideas from this pagan cult. So when paganism was officially outlawed, particular animosity was shown towards Mithraism. Many of its temples were destroyed, and others had churches built on top of them. But Mithraism did leave one mark on Christianity. When later church fathers were deciding what anniversary to celebrate the birthday of Jesus, they chose December the 25th, the winter solstice, which also happens to be the birthday of Mithras.
I had been told that there was another place, one of the key locations for early Christianity, where the similarities between Jesus and other pagan gods are even more obvious. Egypt. It has also always puzzled scholars why Christianity took hold so easily here. One theory claims it was because of its many parallels with ancient Egyptian religious ideas and rituals. Egyptologist Dr. Boyana Moisov is an expert in the ancient cult of Osiris. She claims it has uncanny similarities to Christianity and the story of Jesus. I met her in Abydos, in Upper Egypt, at the 3,300-year-old temple dedicated to the cult of Osiris.
Can you tell me what happened here?
Well, once a year, there was a festival of Osiris, and the myth of Osiris is the most ancient myth of Egypt. The festival lasted for about a week and reached its culmination on the last 3 days. And on the first of those 3 days, the earth body of Osiris would be buried. During the second day, vigils in the temple were said for the god's resurrection. And then on the morning of the third day, the statue was brought out into the court through here, and all the pilgrims who have gathered from all over Egypt celebrated the resurrection of Osiris.
How common was that kind of story? Because for me, the story of death and resurrection of a deity emerges with Christianity. So was it common for people to think this way?
Well, in the Nile Valley, it was. And in the ancient Near East, you also have the myth of the sacrificed savior gods who died for the people and were resurrected, came back to life and would lead all the righteous souls to salvation and eternal life.
Well, what would I have seen if I was here 3,000, 4,000 years ago?
During the festival, on that night where they buried Osiris, lights were lit and candles were lit all over Egypt to commemorate his burial. So if you imagine the temple, which is full of light, full of incense, people carrying candles and praying for the God's resurrection, the mystery of it, chanting prayers for his resurrection. If you imagine incense, candlelight, vigils, that would have been magical.
Many similar rituals are still carried on today by the Egyptian Coptic Church.
Which other elements within this passion play, within this myth, have parallels with Christianity?
Well, baptism in the holy river in the Nile, which was considered to be a sacred river, the sacred Nile water, which was carried into the temple, and the statues were anointed with it. The eating of corn bread as the body of Osiris, because corn came about through the sacrifice of Osiris. So this whole eating of bread and drinking of beer that issued from the risen God is also paralleled by the Eucharist Mass in Christianity.
So the corn bread and the beer are paralleled today by having the bread and the wine.
Exactly. There's a very interesting image in that last room, and it consists of the dead Osiris as a mummy placed on a lion bed. His wife Isis hovers over him like a kite, like a bird, and at this moment they're engendering the savior child. So it is the moment that life is being transferred from death to life, from father to son.
So it's sort of like a miraculous birth.
It's a miraculous birth of the savior child.
Wow. These are ideas that we find in the Christian story of Jesus. This is a major revelation, because it seems to me you're suggesting that the idea of a savior God who redeems the world doesn't just begin with modern Europe, doesn't even begin with the ancient Near East. It goes all the way back to the earliest forms of human experience out of Africa.
Absolutely. It does.
Wow, the Christian J-E-S-U-S don't have a what? Don't have any grass on this seat. They don't have enough grass on this seat to stand on his own, huh? So they have to go copy the pagan deities that pre-existed, hallelujah, before Christianity was even thought of. Look at that, my beloved brother and sister. Here we got a pagan deity that come from many pagan deities that predated, that preceded the invention of this modern false, look at this, modern false deity, which the majority of the likes of this being was copied from what? Ancient Egypt. Now notice what they said, the drinking of the beer and eating of the cornbread. The eating of the cornbread was what? Symbolizing the eating of the body of Osiris, and the drinking of the beer symbolized drinking his blood or his urine. Look at that. Look at that now. The drinking of his blood and eating of his body. Yes, you Christians do the same thing everywhere. Is it every first Sunday y'all do this thing on what y'all call communion? Uh-huh. Where y'all drink the blood of the Lord Jesus, and you eat his body by the breaking of the bread. Well, guess what? They did the same ritual with Mithras. They did the same ritual with Osiris. They did the same ritual with man. We have a list, multiple lists, of other pagan deities that did the same thing. They walked on water. They all had 12 disciples. Hallelujah. Look at this. Look at this. And they were all born of the virgin birth, of a virgin birth, on, quote, December 25th. All of them had the same birthday. And JSUS is, man, please, y'all, my brothers, my sisters, how in the hell can y'all not see this? We out here showing it to you. And it's all type of evidence, all type of material out here, all type of documentation to prove that this book over here that y'all been taught to believe in, and the deity of this book, which it seemed to me that Paul is more the God of it than the so-called J-S-U-S, because everything is Paul, 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 Paul. Matter of fact, he wrote Ephesians, right, and Philippians and Colossians and all this. While we on that subject, let me go ahead and grab something. Let's go deal with something here that is said in multiple places. I hear most people quoting it, but they don't realize that it's in here multiple times, okay? And that's over here in Ephesians, hallelujah, chapter 6, verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service now, as men pleases, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, with what? With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free, whether he be bond or free. Now, this is what they shove down your throats. First of all, they're telling your slaves, obey your masters. And all these good things gonna come to you from the Lord. Oh yeah. See? Oh yeah. See, whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond, slave, or free. Look at that. Yeah. The Lord J-S-U-S condones the white slave masters that made him up. Yeah. Yeah. Everything they do. Let's flip over here now to hallelujah. Praise Yah. Praise Yah. See, it's found in more than just Philippians. It's only in Colossians. And it's in some more books. We're gonna get them all for you. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Go out there and pick that cotton with spirit. Sing songs while you're picking it. Be happy that you have a job that don't pay nothing. Go out there. Pick the tobacco. Harvest the peaches. Harvest the oranges. Pick the collard greens. Go out there and pull the ears of corn from the stalks and shuck them for the master. Be a good servant. Work sun up and sun down the 6 days a week in which the master finally let you be off on the day of his sun god to worship his pagan deity, J-S-U-S, which he beat in your ass on the slave plantation with a whip. But here y'all go to this damn day still worshiping something that ain't real. It is not real. Hallelujah. What is it going to take to wake you up, Israel? Hallelujah. I know what it's going to take. It's going to take the power of Yah. My eyes didn't just come open on their own. He opened my eyes. Yes. Most High Yah opened my eyes. He opened the whole spiritual network here. Opened up my whole spirit man and started to feed the spirit man as he has done others. Man, come on, y'all. It's time to cut the crap. Look at that. If you be a good servant, you're going to receive of your Lord and Savior, J-S-U-S. Don't talk back to him. Don't try to kill the slave master. And look at what he tell the master. Look at what the masters didn't do. They own book telling them to do this. Look at Colossians chapter 4, starting verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants, your slave, your niggas, coon, jigs, porch monkeys, African Americans, that which is just and equal. Have they done that yet? But their own book tells them to do it. So this show you they don't even believe in their own book because they have not done this at all. Masters, give unto your servants that which is good and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Y'all not even doing what y'all Lord and Savior, y'all Master, Jesus Christ told you all to do. He said to do what? To give unto your servants that which is just and good. This is through the mouth of Paul, now who wrote Colossians. Knowing that ye also have a master in heaven, a master in heaven. Look at this. Apparently, you don't have no master in heaven because you have not obeyed any of this. Masters, apostles. Y'all haven't done none of this. But yet, you tell us in your book that for us to be good niggers, be y'all be there, good little niggers there, do what we tell you to do, niggers. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I continue my assault on the New Testament. I will continue to assault it because it needs to be assaulted in this high time that it be brought down. Because you got all these Christian preachers in which some of them, and yeah, we're going to talk about, yes, I'll have no mercy, no pity, and I make y'all Christian preachers even madder. Yep, I'm talking about the vengeance that's upon the bitch up now. Oh, yeah, the bitch up got the package. Y'all can call it what y'all want to. Oh, yeah. The bitch up. It's fading away. Leave it here. Hallelujah. Go to the book of Job, chapter 14. It'll tell you. When them bones and things start showing, when them ribs and things start showing, your flesh start wasting away, guess what? The next thing left for you is the grave, because man born of a woman is of a few days, and they shall be filled with trouble. Hallelujah. What man is it that is alive, that is living, and shall not see death? Hallelujah. This is the word of the Most High, y'all, my brother and sister. Surely, as he told Dawid, surely your sins shall find you out. Not that you will find your sins out. Now, look at that. He told Dawid, your sins shall find you out. So, bitch up, your sins have found you out, and they're coming out and eating you alive while you yet stand on your feet. All that booty digging you did, you paying for it. You hear me? No, I'm not going to spare you. Dirty, low-down rascal. Cheated y'all's people out of all their money. You up here rich as hell, and now you can't take the money to hell with you where you're on your way to. Hallelujah. Yeah, so y'all preachers want to be mad at me, you finna really be mad now. And judgment coming to y'all asses too. Oh, yeah, y'all liars. With all this old Christian bullshit that y'all still trying to shove down somebody's throat in this late hour of the day. Man, you in the end time. You in the end. And you still trying to push this bullshit. Praise the Most High, y'all. Yeah, man, let's see if I got a minute here. About 3 more minutes left to deal with this part right here. Oh, one of y'all favorite. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For ye wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. What are principalities? Against powers and against the rulers now, of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, in governmental offices, in corporations. These are not invisible things doing this, and you're not wrestling in it. Anyway, it's not a wrestling match. It's just simply what? You are caught up in the mess, in the junk, in the wickedness, in the low-down stuff that go on. But let me show you where they stole this from. Hallelujah. Praise the Most High, y'all. And look at this now. I might not have time to get it all in, but look. It tells you the what? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let me share where they stole this from, and how it don't even read like this. Praise the Most High. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 17. Now, this is what the prophet said. And notice, I don't have time to do it. I usually compare the two side by side. But notice what the prophet said. And read the whole chapter so you can read up to this to get the gist of what this is talking about. But Isaiah chapter 59, verse 17 says, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate, okay, and in a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance. They left that one out, okay? And Isaiah didn't go into all that other stuff that they come out put on over there for clothing, and was clad with the zeal as a cloak. Now, we're going to break all this down to you in our next episode, and we're going to do this comparison here between the two sayings and the writings, because that is not... This is not what the prophet is telling you, is saying that was put on. We're going to find out who the him is, first of all, that put it on. And notice, Notice the prophet's short list, and notice how the New Testament writers over there in Ephesians 6:11 just go on and on and on and on, keep going, keep going. He put on this, and he adds stuff to it that's not even in the mix. No, the two do not mean the same. My beloved brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing, and may y'all continue to bless you and yours. Join us again next week, if not this F day. I'm just going to call it next week, yes, in another episode in the Knowledge Suite. Be blessed. We'll see you. To be Yah's will. Shalom, shalom, shalom.